I want us to think of the new year to come. We need to find ways to deepen the honor of our Father. And even though we may have failed and we may confess that we have come short, we can come to God and say, "Now, Lord, give me the grace, give me your help, that in the year to come that I will truly hallow your wonderful name." So allow me to give you a few pointers. And I know that it's hard to walk with God in this world. I know there are distractions. I know that there are hindrances. But God has given us helps.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, and as we come to our message today, we're going to read Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." And so here we have the Lord Jesus preparing his disciples to learn how to pray. How to pray intelligently, how to pray in petitions, asking certain requests of God. And of course, as we come to serve the Lord and His church in our day and generation, we must be men and women of prayer. We must be able to lay hold upon God, plead His promises, and that's what we have here in this prayer, that we might ask of God in faith and plead the blessings He has promised to us. So stay tuned as we come now to our message.
Well, let this be a year when we have everybody at every meeting. That would revolutionize the church. If we had everybody at every meeting, Sunday school hour, Sunday morning and evening, and Wednesday prayer meeting. Well, obviously, everybody can't go to the men's prayer meeting, and everybody can't go to the ladies' prayer meeting, and everybody can't go to the youth meeting. But in the main services of the church, let everybody be at every meeting. But alas, it has not happened. And if there is an area that we really need to confess that we have not hallowed and honored our Father's name, is by our empty seats, the empty place. When a few take the hymn book and a few seek to worship God, but the majority are missing, we need to confess. We need to also confess being cold and careless in our own devotion to God. John 4:24, we read there that the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And what delights our Heavenly Father ought to delight us. When we learn that something brings pleasure and delight to our God, then that ought to be the very thing that should be our red-hot zeal. Zeal for the glory of God in His worship, in salvation, in taking and giving praise to His Son. When we magnify the name of His Son, the Father takes delight. He is honored and hallowed. And then perhaps we need to confess that we lack a burden for those who do not honor God. They're lost, blinded by sin. They don't pray. They don't read the Bible. They don't seek God. And we observe that, but we don't have a thought of the need of their soul. There is a loss of compassion for the lost. And that does not honor our Heavenly Father, because God is grieved by the worldly-minded, carnal mind, and we need to be grieved as well. Souls in dangers of eternal hell. Hell may open up and swallow them. They're lost, without Christ, without a Savior, and we don't care. How can we be hallowing the name of our Father in heaven when we are careless for the souls of men? These are areas that we need to confess. And as we look at the year by, only you can answer the question how you have done. But I will not end in an empty note, because I want us to look at, to consider the ways to improve our honoring to God. I want us to think of the new year to come. We need to find ways to deepen the honor of our Father. And even though we may have failed and we may confess that we have come short, we can come to God and say, "Now, Lord, give me the grace, give me your help, that in the year to come that I will truly hallow your wonderful name." So allow me to give you a few pointers. And I know that it's hard to walk with God in this world. I know there are distractions. I know that there are hindrances. But God has given us helps. Helps by which we may hallow His and honor His name. Let's use the Bible here. Let's come to John 1:12. This is a great beginning text, or a text where we should begin. In John 1, verse 12, here is the help that God has given. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Now that word power there means authority, the right. And that is our starting point. That's the confidence that we need. We do not come as strangers to God. We do not come as outsiders. We are in the family. We are sons. We are rightfully calling upon God as our Father. "And as many as receive him, to them gave he the power," or the authority, "to become sons of God, as many as believe on his name." So that's our starting point. And if you are a believer on the name of the Lord Jesus, Jesus' Father is your Father. And don't let anyone rob you of that. No matter how weak you have been, no matter how much you've had to confess that you have fallen short of honoring and glorifying the God of heaven, you are a child of God who have the right to come and honor him. Now, John 5:23 is the next text. John 5, verse 23. "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." You might ask, "What? How can I honor God's name?" God is a spirit. He's in heaven. We are here. But here's the help. God has given us his Son. And when we honor his Son, we honor the Father. And so set yourself to lift up, to magnify, to promote the name of the Lord Jesus. And as you do so, that will be your way to exalt and to glorify your Heavenly Father. You remember when Jesus, when his body glistened, Transfiguration on the Mount. And the Father's voice was heard on the mount saying, "While ye yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hear ye him. So as you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus, as you honor him and follow him and do his will, you will indeed honor the Father's name. So here's a help. It's not rocket science. It's not impossible. You can exalt, honor, obey, follow the Lord Jesus. And then another great help, of course, is we honor his word. In Isaiah 66, we're told, "For all those things which hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." You want to hallow God's name? You want to honor God's Son? What are you doing with your Bible? Do you come reverencing the scriptures of truth, the Word of God? Do you let that Word dwell in you richly? Do you let that Word control your decisions and your thinking? Is it truly your life? And by that you will honor and hallow God's name. Then also we need to seek the power of the Holy Spirit. Our weapons are not carnal. We don't do this merely in human strength, with our own intellect and academic ability or our own willpower. We need the personal grace and infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. And he's available to us. Did you know that? Do you realize that? And maybe where we feel in the year past that we have not depended on living a Spirit-filled life, that is the secret to honoring our Heavenly Father in the days to come. Because what we cannot do in the flesh, we can do in the Spirit. Remember Romans 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's how we hallow God and honor him, by living truly in the Spirit. And then in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Let me ask you this. Let's be honest. Has the Holy Ghost ever come upon you? Have you ever experienced the direct influence of God, the third person of the Trinity, touching your heart in a powerful way? I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not a charismatic. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I learn from the scriptures the only way a Christian can magnify the Lord is by ceasing from self. There's a point at which you get on your knees and you confess, "Father, I can't do it. I am weak, I am a clay vessel, but only as you fill me and make me a Spirit-filled vessel can I do anything to add glory to your name." That's the biblical position presented over and over and over again. And brother and sister, we are in this together as a congregation. I would fail you as your pastor to not point out the helps, the obvious helps that are ours. We have a right, John 1:12. We have to honor the Son. We have to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. Hear ye him. We have to be faithful to his word. And we need to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. As you do that, as you seek those helps in your heart and life, God will give you power to honor him. One more help. Practice a childlike reverence to your Heavenly Father. Children, let me talk to the boys and girls here today. There's a few boys and girls that I can see right now. Honor your parents. That's the Bible's command. Any family where the father is not honored is a dysfunctional family. The blessing of God is lost, and there will be heartache untold where children do not rightly respect and honor their father. It's God's way, and there is a line between your dad being your friend and being your buddy. And when your dad speaks, you jump. When your dad commands, that's the law. When your dad makes a decision, he's right. That's it. There's no argument. You reverence, you honor, and you follow through under the headship of your Father. Now, when we come to our Heavenly Father, there is a line of reverence. There is a sanctuary of holiness that we don't even cross. God is so infinitely holy that we do not question His commands. We bow the knee. We worship. We honor. In 1 Peter 1:17, I read this, "If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." There is a holy fear. There is a Christian fear. There is a godly, healthy fear that ought to be in the heart of every child of God for our Heavenly Father. We know that He has all power to correct us. We know that we can grieve Him and lose His smile and blessing. But let there be a childlike reverence for Him. We pray best to our Father in heaven when we fear His name. When you mess around with God as just a buddy, you're not praying well. Your flesh will creep in. Your carnal thinking will creep in. And you will grieve God. Now, the Lord Jesus taught His disciples, "When ye pray, pray our Father." Now, it's in the second person, our Father, out of brotherly love. When I pray in the pastoral prayer of the church, or if you're in the prayer meeting praying, we address God as our Father. We are here as brothers and sisters. He is our Father. But when we go into the closet, as the Lord exhorted, the secret place, we of course pray, "My Father." He is my Father. And even in that very address, we display our reverence, our respect, and our deep love for Him. That's a help. Another help is to love our brethren. John said, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth is not his brother whom he hath seen. How can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Thomas Manton said, "We should never be ashamed to own a fellow Christian as a brother whom God will own as a son." And so, to hallow God's name, God is looking for that kind of fruit of loving our sisters and our brothers in Christ. "Herein is our Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." What is your fruit for the year gone by? Let's take the basket out and fill it up with the fruit of your Christian life. If you confess that the basket is very empty, don't repeat that in the year to come. But hallow, make holy, reverence, and enjoy the happy fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Now, I close with this little bit of counsel. I do this as your pastor today because I care for you. New Year's counsel for a happy new year. What to forget? If you would increase your happiness and prolong your life, forget your neighbor's faults. Forget all the slander and unkind remarks you heard each day. Forget the temptations. Forget the fault finding. Forget the peculiarities of your friends. And only remember the good points which make you fond of them. Forget all the personal quarrels or histories you may have heard by accident and which, if repeated, would seem 1,000 times worse than they really are. Blot out as far as possible all the disagreeableness of life. They will come, but will only grow larger when you remember them and the constant thought of the acts of meanness or, worse still, malice will only tend to make you more familiar with them. Be more forgiving to others, even as our Heavenly Father is forgiving you daily. Obliterate everything that was disagreeable from yesterday. Start out today with a clean sheet, writing upon it for memory's sake only those things which are lovely and lovable and glorify God. Remember that someday we must give account of our words and deeds and thoughts in the day of judgment. Lastly, therefore, let us try to make life beautiful for ourselves and others. Now, I don't accuse you of these things, but I would ask you to pray these things that you might honor your Heavenly Father. Have you ever been a father in the midst of a family squabble? It's not the first time I got a phone call and says, Ian, you better come home. When you come into the midst of a family squabble, it's a grief to a father's heart. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us profoundly, does not delight in family grief and conflict. He takes delight when we say, let's put them away and obey our Heavenly Father. I pray this message today will do as much in your heart as it has done for mine. One of the great privileges of being a preacher is that whether it's holiday or no, you need a message. And as I have come to this portion of Scripture, to this Lord's Prayer, it's been like a tonic to my soul. I pray that God will use His Word and give you personal delight in your own Heavenly Father. What a privilege.
When I think of my Savior's great love, in coming from heaven above, to die on the tree for a sinner like me, I am sure that He loves even me. He saves me from sin, though often ungrateful I've been. My vow I renew to be faithful and true, for I'm sure that He loves even me.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Today we're thinking of soon launching into a new year, and we wonder, who shall we obey? What is our authority to go forward? Dr. Robert Wilder, who was the founder of the Student Volunteer Movement, a great missionary movement for the recruiting of missionaries in our colleges and universities some years ago, was in India. He walked into the hotel dining room, and the only vacant seat was at a table where there was an army major, a naval officer, together with some other subordinate officers and their wives. In the course of the conversation, the army major spoke up and said, "Well, I don't see why that these missionaries don't stay at home and mind their own business." Dr. Wilder said, "Major, I want to ask you a question. Suppose that you received, while you are sitting here at this table, orders from your superior officer to proceed to such and such a place with the men under your command and to engage such and such an enemy in combat. What would you do? Will you sit here at this table? Would you wait? Why are you in India, anyhow?" The major's eyes flashed fire as he said, "I will have you to know, sir, that as a soldier, I am subject to the command of my government, and if any government ordered me to take the men under my command to go to a certain place and to engage the enemy, I would do it, though it would cost my life and the life of every man under my command." Dr. Wilder said, "Major, I am a Christian. Jesus Christ is my King. I serve as a citizen of the kingdom of God. My King arose from the dead, and he gave me a divine commission. That commission was, go, therefore, and teach all nations. And, Major, that is why I and the missionaries in India are here, minding the business of our King and serving under the authority of his government." Well, I trust that was the end of the subject. And every missionary is sent by the Lord and has a commission to go and preach the gospel. Thank you for joining with us today here on our Let the Bible Speak program.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.